والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه والتابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is the 14th day of Ramadan, 1434 Hijri, in bracket the 22nd day of July 2013. 22nd? Oh, 23rd. Allahu Akbar. 23rd day of July 2013. Somebody threw a question, is alcohol an impurity? Let's try and answer before going to tafsir, and we have other questions after the tafsir. But let me make this attempt. Alcohol, is it a najasa? Al-khamr, al-khamr. Alcohol, is it an impurity? Such that if it touches your cloth, it can't rain? I know the ulama are divided on this issue. Some are of the view that yes, if khamr, alcohol, touches your cloth, you cannot pray with your cloth because it is impurity. Just like human excrement, just like urine, according to their view. Their reason is because Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجِسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O you who believe, you should know Al-Khamr, intoxicant, to the end of it. They say, since Allah says there is impurity, abomination, then that makes it that alcoholic consumption is an impurity, just like human urine, human waste. If it touches your body, you have to wash it before you can pray. Because it is said what? Rigid. But some reply them by saying no. Alcohol, beer, or whatever you call it, is not an impurity. For many reasons. First, the ayah you quoted, it is not only alcohol that is qualified as rigid, because Allah mentioned how many things? Al-Khamr, Al-Maisir, Al-Ansar, Al-Azlam, ridges. So why do you single only Khamr and ridges? What about Al-Azlam? Divination by the arrow. They use arrow in determining whether a journey will be successful. Does that mean that arrow, if it touches me, just an arrow, I can't pray with my cloth? Because it is too qualified as ridges. Because after mentioning further, it says there is not only concerning the alcohol. Al-Ansab, idol. Does that mean if somebody worships a tree and the tree touches his own cloth, he can't pray? So you understand the argument. So they reply them with stronger view that, look, if this is your reason is very weak. That is number one. Number two, there is a rule, a principle in Islamic fiqh that says something becoming haram does not make it impurity necessarily. But if something is impure, it is haram. It is a rule in Islamic fiqh. They say, إِنَّ التَّحَرِيمَ لَا يَقْتَدِ التَّنْجِيسِ وَلَكِنَّ التَّنْجِيسِ يَقْتَدِ التَّحَرِيمِ. Human waste is an impurity, isn't it? Therefore, it is haram to use it. But cocaine, heroin, hashish, hard drugs, they are haram. But they're not impure. If they touch your body, you can pray with it. Cigarettes, it's haram. But are you telling me if somebody has one stick of it in the pocket, he can't pray with it? He can pray. So by this, you are able to know that alcohol cannot be najasa. Finally, they also argue further by saying, most of these alcoholic consumption, if not all of them, are made from pure substances. Barley, grain, wheat. They are originally what? Pure things. So just because they produce intoxication does not make them impure. This is the answer to this question, and it's a very strong argument they put forward in trying to explain this important issue. Which ayah? Hello. Naam? Ayah number 87 in chapter number 10. Iqra wa billahi tawfiq.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأوحينا إلى موسى وأخيه أن تبوأ لقومكما بمصر بيوتا
نعم
واجعلوا بيوتكم قبلة وأقيموا الصلاة وبشر المؤمنين
وأوحينا إلى موسى وأخيه أن تبوأ لقومكما بمصر بيوتا واجعلوا بيوتكم قبلة وأقيموا الصلاة وبشر المؤمنين. If you can recall, yesterday we talked about, out of many things said concerning Prophet of Allah and Messenger Musa, where he was advising his people, saying, if truly you believe in Allah, put your trust in Him. If you are Muslims, in truth. And then they prayed, oh Allah, don't make us as fitna for the wrongdoing people, and save us from the people that are unbelievers. Now Allah said, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِي. وَأَوْحَيْنَا is from wahi. What is wahi? You say revelation. A revelation that goes to the Prophet. And with the revelation goes what things like miraculous happenings. So Allah sent revelation to Prophet Musa wa akhi and his brother. The brother here is, who is that? Harun. An tabawwa'a liqawmikuma bimisra buyuta. That you shall have houses as dwellings for you. Buyutan, houses, take houses for dwelling in Egypt. وَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَى. Make those houses as the Qibla, direction at which you pray, or towards which you pray. You can see Qibla is not peculiar to the Ummah of Muhammad. Because Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, while in Egypt, was commanded to convert their houses as Qibla for prayer. And Qibla is the direction you face while worshiping Allah. Like our Qibla is what? Is what? What is our Qibla, ya Jama'ah? You don't know? Allahul Musta'an. During our prayers, where do we face? Is it East or Kaaba? The reason why we say East is because of geographical convenience. Kaaba happens to be by the eastern part of us here. You go to Medina, they don't say east. What do they say? Where do they say? In Medina. Because, yeah, they face the Kaaba, but in Medina, Kaaba is not in the eastern part of Medina. They face the north. The people in Ta'if, they face the west. In Riyadh, they face the west. Because Kaaba geographically is in that very what location. So we here in Nigeria, Kaaba is in our eastern part of the world. Hence we say we are facing the east. So don't make it as a law, a binding principle. You can find yourself in a different angle where you face the south, the north, the east, depending. Even now you go to Mecca, you see some facing the Kaaba at quite different direction, isn't it? Alright? This is the Kaaba. But some, you will pray with your brother looking at you, you're looking at him. Because it is the center. Oh, definitely Allah has honored this house. Wherever in the world, if you pray not there, your prayer is not accepted. So Allah said, وَجْعَلُوا بِيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. Establish prayer. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Break glad tidings to the believers. Next ayah.
وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّوا عَن سَبِيلِكَ ربنا اطمس على أموالهم واشدد على قلوبهم فلا يؤمنوا حتى يروا العذاب الأليم.
وقال موسى ربنا إنك آتيت فرعون وملأه زينة وأموالا في الحياة الدنيا ربنا ليضلوا عن سبيلك. To the end of the verse, it is verse number 88, chapter number 10. Musa alayhi salam, whom they call Moses, it is you, O Allah, that give Pharaoh and his company zina, the glitterings of this life, the glitters, wa amwalan and wealth, fi hayati dunya, in the life of this world. O Allah, you gave him this money, these ornaments, these glitterings, this wealth, this Allah, you do give him. رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ. So as for them to block people away from your way, that is to mislead people. Now a question, if لِيُضِلُّوا لَمْ تَعْلِيمْ. No. They say no. Islam what? It is called Lamul Aqiba. Jamil. Or Lamul Fayrura. It's not literally. You gave them because subsequently and consequently. So it's for Fayrura. It is a lamb for causality. At the end of it, they will destroy people. They will cause people to be away. From your way, they will be misleading people. رَبَّ مَطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. O Allah, put erasure, erase their wealth. وَشْدُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And make their hearts to hurt, not to believe. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا. Such that they will never believe. حَتَّى يَرَوُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. Until they see face to face الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ, the painful chastisement, the painful punishment. By the time they came to see Allah's punishment, it will be too late to cry when the head is cut off. Alright? So Prophet Musa prayed against Pharaoh and his disbelieving company, and Allah did accept and endorse the request. Because he said it in the subsequent verse. Allah said what?
قال قد أجيبت دعوتكما فاستقيما ولا تتبعان سبيل الذين لا يعلمون.
قال قد أجيبت دعوتكما فاستقيما ولا تتبعان سبيل الذين لا يعلمون. قال, and he said, who said it? Allah. Because Allah said, in affirming the request, in confirming and endorsing and giving the request, let ujiba da'watukuma, your request is certainly accepted. meaning whatever they prayed against Pharaoh has now been granted. Allahu Akbar. Fastaqima, therefore maintain my correct way. It is from istiqama. What is istiqama? Because Allah says, "Inna al-ladina qalu Rabbun Allah thumma istiqama." Okay, what is istiqama? And you pray for istiqama every day, at least 17 times, by saying, "Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim." 17 times a day, at least. Subh prayer, 2 rak'at. Dhuhr, 4, 6. Asr, 4, 10. Maghrib, 3, 13. Isha, 4, 17. In each and every one of these units, there is request for istiqama. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Even if you didn't read, the imam read, and you said Amin. Didn't you say Amin? So you are requesting Allah for this correct way at least 17 times. At least, minus nawafil. Otherwise, they are nafila, isn't it? That is why Ibn al-Qayyim says the Prophet prays in a day 40 rak'at. 40 units. You take 17 rak'at obligatory prayers. Sunan al-Rawatib, Qiyam al-Layl, and the figure stands at 40. How can you pray to Allah 40 rak'at like this on daily basis without having your request granted? Allahu Akbar. Fastaqima, maintain my straight path. That is al-istiqama. وَلَا تَتَّبِعَانِّي. In tajweed, what is this? In the science of Quran recitation, what is this? وَلَا تَتَّبِعَانِّي. Is it madda? Is it qalqala? It is maddu al-lazim al-mufakkalu al-kalimi. How many elongation? How many madda? Naam? Okay, going by how many alifs? Three. Three alifs translating into how many? Six. وَلَا تَتَّبِعَانِّي الْمَدَّ الْمُشْبَعَ. Okay? Don't ye obey or follow the ways of those who don't know. Next ayah.
وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرَ فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ بَغْيًا وَعَدْوًا حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمنت به بنو إسرائيل قال آمنت أنه لا إله إلا الذي آمنت به بنو إسرائيل وأنا من المسلمين.
وجاوزنا ببني إسرائيل البحر فأتبعهم فرعون وجنوده بغيا وعدوى. To the end of the verse. Allah said, وجاوزنا ببني إسرائيل البحر. And we crossed the river. Okay, thereby saving the children of Israel. You know what happened when Musa left Egypt, alayhi salatu wasalam, that they were going, heading to what they call the promised land. Pharaoh went out, pursuing them, following them vigorously. Now, they came across a river that barricaded them. Which river is that? Naam? There is Nile River. Very big, and up till today it flows across Egypt. What do we do? Being pursued by the enemy and the river will not allow them to pass. That means easily they will be what? Reached, they will be caught. So he prayed. قال أصحاب موسى إنا لمدركون قال كلا إنما إي ربي سيهدين. In one chapter. So Allah said, we gave revelation to Musa, take your staff, strike the river. أمرك بعصاك البحر فانفلق فكان كل فريق كالطود العظيم. When he struck the river and it was put asunder, one part and other, they passed through. Pharaoh came, he saw the river cleft into two parts. He said, yeah, the river knows who is the Lord. It is given way for it to pass. Miskin, he didn't know. When he entered, he was drawn. But here Allah said, وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحَرَ. We crossed the river with them. We need them to pass through. فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ. And Pharaoh pursued them along with his army. That is Junud. With his army. بَغْيًا. بَغْيًا in transgression. وَعَدْوًا and in rebellious hatred. It is because of these two things he pursued them. بَغْيًا in transgressing the limit. So in transgression, وَعَدْوًا and in rebellious hatred. حَتَّى أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ. Until when the drowning, okay, caught him. Because he was drowned. When he realized definitely he was dying, then he made a belated attempt to become a believer. قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He said, oh, I believe now in the Lord that in which the Israelites believe. I am now amongst the believers. But it was late for him. Allah said in the subsequent ayah,
الآن وقد عصيت قبل وكنت من المفسدين.
الآن وقد عصيت قبل وكنت من المفسدين. الآن now you want to believe now in a belated time now. وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ. Whereas previously you proved to be disobedient to Allah, intransigent, rebellious. Now you are believing now. وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. You are among those committing corruption on the face of the earth. الآن. Now this tells you his repentance was not accepted. Was it? It wasn't. Then it's a warning. Don't say, well, I have a time to repent. Allah does not accept a repentance when somebody does not care. Until when visibly he sees himself as dying, then he says, I am repenting. Repent at the time one enjoys committing bad things. Leave it. That is why a young man, for example, who leaves bad things for the sake of Allah, Allah loves such a man. In a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Abu Huraira, the Prophet ﷺ says, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّهُ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ. Seven categories of people will be placed under Allah's shade on such a way, on such a day, when there wouldn't be any shade. First mention is what? The second one is وَشَابٌ نَشَعَ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. First, Imam Adil, a just leader. And secondly, any young man that grows up obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, it was said to him, is it now you are repenting? You used to just obey Allah and you happen to be amongst the corrupt people committing corruption on the face of the earth. Next ayah.
فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً.
Now,
وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا لَغَافِلُونَ.
فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. Allah said, today we shall preserve your corpse so as you serve as a warning. That is ayah here. As a deterrent for those who come after you. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ, many people are mindless concerning our warnings and signs. Some scholars are of the view that this ayah means when Pharaoh was drowned and died, Allah kept the body because the sea threw his dead body at the bank of the river. When they came, they looked at him. They said, what? This is our king. Is that really God? Does God die? But Pharaoh died. So Allah said, فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. We shall keep your body intact to be seen, to serve as a warning for those who will come after you. You claim to be God. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِ. You said all this, but now you are dead. Is it God? Does God die? Does God eat food? For example, those claiming Jesus is a God, they are following Satan. Because if Jesus was God, why did he eat? Why was he carried in the womb of a woman? Why was he crying? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. As in the Gospel of St. Matthew. If he was God, he would have said, myself, myself. Why have I forsaken myself? If he was God. Okay? Some say the body of Pharaoh is preserved. If you go to Egypt, you can meet the Egyptologist. There are places for visit in Egypt. If you care, you can go and even see that body. But of what benefit? Of what benefit? Some people were showing some dead body like a cat. And they say it is the dead body of Pharaoh. But the point is, the dead body was dumped by the side of the river. Dumped. That is Nunajik. If Allah had will, the river will have flown that body, never to be seen or to be heard, isn't it? But it was dumped by the fact that the meaning of Nunajika. We shall just keep the body for those to come later and see it. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ أَنْتَ لَغَافِلُونَ. And we have, and a lot of people concerning our signs are mindless and careless. Next ayah.
وَلَقَدْ بَوَّأْنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مُبَوَّأَ صِدْقٍ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ فَمَا اخْتَلَفُوا حَتَّى جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَقْضِي بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي مَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ.
Allah says, وَلَقَدْ بَوَّأَنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مُبَوَّأَ صِدِقٍ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ فَمَا اخْتَلَفُوا حَتَّى جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ. We did cause the Israelites to live in a place of honor. That's the meaning here. مبوى الصدق لسان الصدق لدم الصدق. These are the Quranic style. لسان الصدق, if Allah keeps for you لسان, it means Allah has given you good praises. لسان الصدق عليا قدم الصدق, Allah gives you strong foothold in knowledge and obedience to Allah. So مبوى الصدق is the place you dwell where you are honored. We gave them places of honor to live, Israelites. وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, we provided for them good provision. A tayyib in the sight of Allah is that which is lawful and tasteful. You can say akaltu ta'am at-tayyib. Okay, I ate nice food. Not niceness is informed first by being lawful. If somebody eats something forbidden, well cooked, very delicious, it is tayyib in taste, but it is al-khabith, bad spiritually. Get it well. So if you want tayyib, it should be tayyib in two ways. It is through lawful means, that is tayyib in that case, and it can be tasteful and nice on your tongue. So Allah said, وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, we provided for them from nice and good provision. فَمَا اخْتَلَفُوا حَتَّى جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمِ, they didn't become divided until when the knowledge came to them. The knowledge about the emergence of the Prophet of Arabia, Muhammad al-Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said no, we wouldn't believe in him. They were thinking the Prophet will come from amongst them, but when he came finally, he was an Arab, they said no, they denied him. Whereas they wish to preach, they used to preach to the people that somebody will appear, a good Prophet, we'll believe in him and fight you. When finally Muhammad al-Mustafa emerged and appeared, they did obey him. That is the meaning of faith. Okay? They didn't become divided until when the knowledge came unto them. The knowledge is the knowledge of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take for example, if you are reading the Bible, the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, please read it. In the Old Testament of the Bible, if you compare and contrast, if you want to be somebody that conducts religious comparative studies, read the Bible. The Old Testament, the last of the books of the Pentateuch, the book of what? Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is the fifth. These books are called the Pentateuch, or the five book of Moses. Read it, chapter 18, verse 18. Listen to it. God was speaking according to what they say. God was speaking to Moses, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, and it's going to be like unto you. Now look at it analytically. I will raise them up. Who was speaking here? God, according to the writers, speaking to Musa. Because the book of Deuteronomy is one of his books. You should analyze things through knowledge, not through dogmatism. If you hear the truth, listen to it. Okay? And take up the challenge. Who is that? No. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. Now we ask a lot of Christian friends. I personally quoted this verse, Deuteronomy 18:18, in the Old Testament, to a friend of mine, a pastor, one day in Ekwere Ichi in former River State. I said, sir, the prophecy about Muhammad is in your Bible. He said, no, no. Read Deuteronomy 18:18, and we read. I said, it says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. I said, please, pastor, which prophet was being prophesied here? He said, Jesus Christ, of course. Because it was Moses being told, and Jesus came later. He said, no, it cannot be Jesus Christ. Because it says, look at the verse, a prophet from among their. Then I want to ask you, their, we call this in English grammar what? Possessive adjective. This is my book. My is called possessive adjective. This is his cap. His is possessive what? Adjective. So from among their brethren. This there tells us it is a different tribe, which is a sister to the Jews from which Jesus came up. So it cannot be Jesus Christ. It must be talking about a different tribe that will produce a different prophet, and it says from among their brethren. And in history, nobody knows any tribe as the sisters of the Jews but the Arabs, because they come from the same origin, the Jews from Isaac, Arab Ishmael, all back to Abraham. Am I communicating? So it tells you clearly, from among their brethren, it means a prophet from a sister of the Jews, it can't be Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, are you clear? If you are not, go further. It also says, in the same book, your book, not my Quran, I was telling him, Deuteronomy 18:18 in the Old Testament, it says also, he will be like unto you. That prophet will be like unto you. Who is that you? Moses. I said, Pastor, let's look, if you insist that it is referring to Jesus, in what way is this like Moses? Let's analyze. Number one, Jesus was born miraculously. No male intervention. No man met a woman. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born through the normal biological processes. The same thing applies concerning Moses. I say, Pastor, what do you say? In this case, who is more like Moses? Muhammad or Jesus? Tell me. Because the book said it. It must book with reason. It must talk with reason. So number one, area of comparison, number one, Muhammad was born through the normal biological processes, so also Moses, but Jesus was born miraculously. Inna masala Isa inda Allah ka masala Adam khalaqahu min turabin thumma qala lahu what? Fayakun. So this is area number one. Number two, Pastor, Muhammad got married, didn't he? Moses also did get married. I said, what about Jesus, sir? He said, no. So in that case, Muhammad is like Moses. Jesus, not like. So you are making an empty claim. The scripture is talking. You must analyze it. You must know it. We analyze our book, the Quran. We too analyze your own. But through friendship. Not dogmatism. Come, let's understand one another. Know the truth, and it shall set you free. That is number two. And it says, he's going to be like you, Moses. In what way is this like him? After saying, from among their brethren. Number three, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had issues. Children. Moses had issues. What about Jesus Christ? He didn't get married, let alone children. So in that case, Muhammad is more like Moses and not Jesus. And your book said he's going to be like unto you. You have to show us why it's like him. In short, we analyze about 10 areas of comparison. Without one fitting the cap, or the cap fitting the head of Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam. But you know, prison dies hurt. That is the ilm that Allah says here. And we even told him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died natural death, so also Moses, but Jesus. The grave of Muhammad can be seen today in this life. Go to Medina. The grave of Moses is there in the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses died there in the land of Moab. His grave is there. Can you show me the grave of Jesus? He said, no. I said, not true. The first Quran was written in the language of Muhammad, Arabic. The first Torah was written in the language of Moses. Which language? Hebrew. But surprisingly, the first Bible was written in the language of Greek, or in Greek, not in the language of Jesus. What do you call it? Hebrew or Aramaic? Who is more like Moses here? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent away from Mecca. Yes, sent. He was hated in Mecca. He was kind of pursued out of the city. But later he came back and opened Mecca and he regained his glory. The same thing Moses. He was hated by the Jews. Later he became the leader. But Jesus Christ, up to this minute, the Jews regard him as an illegitimate son. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. So there are many, many areas of comparison. I am saying, Allah says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَتَخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُولُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. Chapter 3, verse 64. It tells us, Allah says, O ye people of the book, the Christians and the Jews, come unto the common town. No trouble, no fighting at all. Let's come to the common town, let's discuss, let's analyze the scriptures. You will see the truth, inshallah ta'ala. You will see Islam is the only religion that Allah will accept. Practiced by Adam, by Shiv, by Haba, by Methuselah, by Jeremiah, by Ezekiel, by Habakkuk, by all and sundry, and by Jesus Christ and by Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So believe in it, live it. You don't live it, not L-E-A-V, live it, L-I-V-E, live according to it, live Islam, okay? Live it, practice it, and you'll be set free. Satan cannot have any influence on you. That is the ill mentioned here. فَمَخْتَلَفُ حَتَّى جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ. They didn't divide, they didn't become divided. They did not become divided until when the al-ilm, the true knowledge, came unto them concerning the truthfulness of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَقْضِي بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Certainly your Lord will pass judgment between them on the day of Al-Qiyamah. فِيمَا كَانُوا فِي يَخْتَلِفُونَ. On the issues they become divided. Next ayah.
فَإِن كُنْتَ فِي شَكٍّ مِّمَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ فَاسْأَلِ الَّذِينَ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِن قَبْلِكَ. لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ الْحَقُّ مِن رَّبِّكَ فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ.
فَإِن كُنْتَ فِي شَكٍّ مِّمَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ فَاسْأَلْ. To the end of it. If you are in any doubt, O ya Muhammad, if you entertain any doubt, ask the veracity of that which we reveal unto you, ask those who read the books before you. The ulama said, the Prophet didn't entertain any doubt. Just by way of saying, even ask them, they will testify that really you are Allah's true messenger. Otherwise, how can the Prophet be doubtful at all? You just a common believer, you have the strong iman and conviction. What about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Just by way of ask them as a reason against the unbelievers, even your leaders will know Muhammad was, is, and remains Allah's true messenger. Ask those who read the books before you. لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. The truth did come to you from your Lord. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. So don't be among those who entertain any doubts. Next ayah.
ولا تكونن من الذين كذبوا بآيات الله فتكون من الخاسرين.
ولا تكونن من الذين كذبوا بآيات الله فتكون من الخاسرين. ولا تكونن. You see, in the simple law of Arabic grammar, فعل المضارع is always what? Subject to al-i'rab. What is i'rab? Flexibility of any verb. There are some properties in the Arabic that are static. They are called what? Al-Mabniyat. Al-Mabni is any expression that does not change. It's not changing. Whether there is Fatha or Kasra, it maintains just one sign. For example, Fi. Oh, Levi. Al-Levi. What is Al-Levi? Ism al-Mawsool. He or she. Al-Levi is a good example of Al-Mabni. What is Mabni? It is a letter that remains fixed, static. If you put inna, there won't be anything. For example, inna al-Levi. But inna puts fatha on any name, isn't it? You say inna Allaha. Inna Muhammadan. Inna al-Kitaba. But you say inna al-Levi. What is it? You don't say inna al-Leviya. No. Because of the nature of Levi, it is fixed. You just analyze it in this manner. This is what they call Al-Mabni. Any noun, any verb that is static cannot be flexible. But there are others that can be flexible, like Muhammad. You say, Inna Muhammadan, Inna. Ja'a Muhammadun, Sallamtu ala Muhammadin. You see, dan, dun, din. Akala Zaidun. Ra'aytu, can I hear you? Zaidan. Marartu bi dun dan din. But inna alladhi, ja'a alladhi, sallamtu ala alladhi. No changing. If this is understood, now I go to the area of my concentration. Wala takunanna. Takunu. What kind of verb is this? Is this fi'li madhi or mudari? Naam? What is the madhi version of takunu? Naam? Takunu kunta. Kunta. Al-am kun. So fi'li mudari is flexible. But fi'li madhi is fixed, static. You say qara'a, shariba, akala, kharaja, dakhala. With fatha always. But fi'l al-mudari can be flexible. Like yashrabu. Lam yashraba. Lam yashrab. It's cool. But here it's a fi'l al-mudari. But it's not flexible here. It is fixed. It is static. Because of its nature. When you add any noon of emphasis and at the end of it, it becomes static. According to Imam Ibn Malik, he says, وَفِئِلُ أَمْرٍ وَمُضِيٍ بُنِيَا بَتْ وَأَعْرَبُ مُضَارِئًا إِنْ عَرِيَا مِنْ نُونِ تَوْكِيدٍ مُبَاشِرٍ وَمِنْ نُونِ إِنَاثٍ كَيَرُعُنَا مَنْ فُتِيَا. This is the example here. And it is said so, to add emphasis on the expression. But this analysis just, you know, it borders just on the laws of Arabic grammar. Maybe only those who study Arabic will understand what I'm saying. But since Arabic is caught, Quran is caught in Arabic, and Arabic is so beautiful with its rules, at times we take time analyzing things to be analyzed. Okay? Now, وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Don't you ever be amongst those who deny Allah's signs. فَتَكُونَنَّ أَوْ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Otherwise you'll be amongst the losers. If you deny Allah's revelation, you lose. Oh yes. Next ayah.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. As for those whose Allah's decree has been established against them, they will never believe. حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ. Allah's decree has preceded that they will go to the hellfire. How can they believe? They act irresponsibly, and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and subsequently and consequently they are thrown into the hellfire. Of course, that has been explained in detail, the meaning of this kind of verses. Next ayah.
وَلَوْ جَاءَتْهُمْ كُلُّ آيَةٍ حَتَّى يَرَوُوا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ
وَلَوْ جَاءَتْهُمْ كُلُّ آيَةٍ حَتَّى يَرَوُوا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ If all revelations were to come unto them, they will still not believe. حَتَّى يَرَوُوا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ Until they see the العذاب الأليم, painful chastisement and punishment. In that case, you believe after seeing the punishment, your repentance will be an exercise in futility, fruitless and without any importance. Next ayah.
فلولا كانت قرية آمنت فنفعها إيمانها إلا قوم يونس لما آمنوا كشفنا عنهم عذاب الخزي في الحياة الدنيا ومتعناهم إلى حين
فلولا كانت قرية آمنت فنفعها إيمانها إلا قوم يونس لما آمنوا to the end of the verse and it is verse number 98 chapter number 10 surah yunus allah said azza wa jal falawla kanat qaryatun amanat why didn't a dwelling believe okay fanafa'aha imanuha and it believed will have benefited it that had any disbelieving dwelling believed such a belief would have benefited it okay إلا قوم يونس except the dwelling or the qarya or the people of Prophet Yunus. Who is Yunus? Jonah. Prophet Yunus عليه الصلاة والسلام was sent to a qarya, to a geographical entity, a dwelling known as what? Nineveh or Nineveh in the old history. But they rebelled. They proved arrogant, pompous, hydra-headed, intransigent. They refused to believe. So Allah's punishment came upon them. Prophet Yunus left them. He entered a boat, and the boat was about to capsize. There was a lost cast or casted. Okay. So he went overboard into a deep sea, and he was gobbled and swallowed by a big fish. Oh. Later, it was brought out, Allah said, go back to your people. Okay? وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ After his departure, they believed. They undertook their mistake. They were saying, oh, Yunus, come back to us. We now recognize our mistake. So Allah said, had people believed, their belief would have benefited them. Except the Ummah of Yunus, لما آمنوا when they believed كشفنا عنهم عذاب الخزي we removed from them the chastisement of what ignominy okay the kind of punishment of disrepute الخزي في الحياة الدنيا in the life of this world ومتعناهم إلى حين and we caused them to enjoy this life momentarily just for a while Wherever the Quran says إِلَى حِينَ it means it's just a comparative short period of time. Whatever you are given in this life, no matter how wealthy, how healthy, how whatever, it is but a short period of time. مَتَاعَ إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعَ إِلَى حِينَ If you live for 100 years, 1,000 years, finally, you will have a date with the death. A day will be coming when it will come knocking at your door. That is death. D-E-A-T-H. Does death die? Or is it going to die? Is the death going to die? proof. Proof. Who has proved that أن الموت سيموت? الموت يموت? You say yes. Reason. We talk with reason. We have been trained on قل هاتوا برهانكم. Yes, brother. Thank you very much. Any additional information? Yes. Yes, you. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now? The brother is saying the death here is going to die is personification. It's a symbolical expression, in other words, meaning not death per se, but the angel. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ in chapter 32, surah al-Sajdah. Tell them the angel of the dead. He says that's the meaning. It is the angel dying and not the dead. So, death is here personified. Any proof of that? You are not yet through. What the brother said here, I think, is more convincing. Because there is a riwayah that the dead will be brought and be slaughtered by Prophet Zachariah. The dwellers of the hellfire will say, hey, this is dead, come and take us. They say, no, not this for you. La ilaha illallah. Not this any longer. قَالَ اخْسَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. But the dwellers of the Jannah will say, this is the dead. Allah, take it away. It will be said to them, remain permanently in enjoyment. No more death. Illa mawtatana al-ula. So, it's not an issue of a personification or symbolization or whatever. It is a concrete hadith reported that the dead will be slaughtered. That's all. That's the end of it all. Okay, which ayah are we on? Naam? 98. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَتَّعَنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. Let's complete this ayah. Inshallah we move on with ayah 100. Let's read the last ayah.
وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ.
ولو Look at the ayah here. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. لا إله إلا الله. If Allah had willed, if your Lord had wished, that is ولو شاء ربك, if your Lord had wished, if he had willed, all the creators on the face of the earth would have believed, all of them. You wouldn't have come across any kafir. Now this ayah and similar ones are some of the ayahs that people get confused on them. Okay, if Allah had will, that means disbelief is the will of Allah. That means if somebody commits zina or killing life, Allah had will, no problem, no repentance. You can be dead wrong if you believe like this. If Allah is not like this, then he cannot be Allah. Because if a kafiri becomes a kafiri, it's not because it's beyond Allah's power. If Allah had will, will I believe? Because who controls the heart? Then how do you answer it? You answer it through the scholarly explanation of the ulama. Through what they call al-qada'ul kawni and al-qada'ul shari'i. That I will explain the further tomorrow, but I'm just telling you listen to it, it clears your misunderstanding concerning the Quran, inshallah. That is going to be tomorrow, by the grace of Allah. Maybe it's going to be my introductory speech tomorrow before the tafsir commences, inshallah, in earnest. But translation. If your Lord had will, all of the creators on the earth will have believed. Afa anta tukrihu an-nas, are you the one to compel people until they become believers? Because la ikraha fi din. Why? Qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghayy. No compulsion in the religion, because the truth is very clear from the arrow. Nas'alullah rabbal alamin an yansura al-islam wal muslimin wa yuzilla ash-shirka wal mushrikeen wa yudammira a'da' ad-din. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.